As you might have heard, we have just presented the new 7-pace time tracker 4 with server-side tracking, in coincidence with the Microsoft Connect 2017 just a few days ago. So that was in coincidence not only with the Connect, but also with the general availability of Team Foundation Server 2018. In this webinar, I'm going to give you an overview of Time Tracker itself and how it is integrated into Team Services. I will walk you through all the major sections of the application so that you get an idea what this application is all about and what it offers you. Then we will have a look at the new features that you will find in Time Tracker 4. And also we have a special guest in that webinar. My colleague Maxime will give you some introduction into the new client API. All right, what you see here is the VSTS sprint board. We have here selected an agile template. I guess it's a Scrum template. And this is the typical place where the daily work starts of every engineer in a team. So in a stand-up, everyone reports what he has done yesterday, what he's going to today, and what are his impediments. You know that maybe. And I'm going to start here as I want to show you how the idea of Time Tracker is that this application is completely also integrated into the progress, into the workflow of an engineer's life. So what happens if someone has assigned work to him, very likely is that he opens also that work item to see what is assigned to him, what tasks he needs to do. And you see that here is something that is usually not in the interface of a work item view, what you see here in the work item form, which is that work panel that is added as soon as you have Time Tracker enabled or installed on your TFS or in the VSTS account. And from here, you can directly start tracking. So that means the moment I click that button here, after I enter some comment and select the activity that I'm currently working on, that the tracking starts instantly in the past. The big news here is that with Time Tracker 4, this happens now on the server side. Before it happened on the client side. So actually, the first thing that we started 5 years ago, when we started to develop this for as a side project for us internally, for our teams, we just had a Windows client that saved some data into a local SQL Server database. So the tracking happened locally on the desktop, which was fine, but also came with a lot of limitations over time. And the big news now is that we have with Time Tracker 4, we have now presented a new architecture. So the tracking happens now on the server. The whole engine has been migrated, transported over to the server side, and all the clients have been replaced and are now working on that with that central tracking API. What you see here is now that the tracking has started. You see also that the time has already went to the next minute. You see also now here directly from that button that the clock is ticking. But let's also have a quick look at the brand new Windows client that you see here. So the old Windows client has been completely replaced. This is a development from scratch that you see over here, and it is connected via our client API through the interface and allows you to not just see the current track happen, but also, of course, allows you to stop tracking and to adjust the current tracking, connect to other accounts and so on. We will come back to that a little later. All right. So as we have just started the tracking the time over here, let me jump over and walk you through the interface, the main interface of Time Tracker. Let me start by showing you the monthly page. So that page is one of the pages that is dedicated directly to the engineers. You see the hours that you have worked on every day, and you can open a single day and you see all the records that you have created on that single day. You can edit these records, you can create them or remove them. You see totals and so on. So this gives you a very good overview about the total calendar month. The next page I'm going to show you is the timesheet. So that is much more powerful and giving you more control over a working week. And what you see here is basically a matrix, a spreadsheet that consists of a weekday on each column, and a work item on every row. And you can either add new work items here by clicking this new time button, or you can pre-populate this spreadsheet, that view, by the current iteration with all the items that have been assigned to you. I have a little bit poor data here, so that you don't see that much information displayed here. I have to walk you through that a little bit more in theory. What you can do here is, basically, this is completely keyboard optimized, so you can just go through the cells that indicate a day and a work item, and you can just start entering some times here. That might make maybe a little bit too much, something like that. You can even open with that little tiny box here, you can open the details of that cell. That means that you have now a list of all the time records that have happened on that particular day on that work item. So it doesn't necessarily have to be just one. You can add more than one, work logs to a single day, and add some individual comments, like something like that. And one of the things you might find very useful are that this view is indicating on what days you have worked on what items. So basically, Time Tracker analyzes your sprint board. So it looks at the days when, for instance, that work item was in progress, so moved from to do into in progress before it was moved to done. And all the days where this particular work item was in progress are indicated blue here in that view. So that means that you have a nice pattern of blue cells on that spreadsheet. And basically, you just have to fill in these blue cells and distribute the work of each day, so that you can create a very realistic timesheet, even if you haven't tracked time over the whole course of the week. So the next piece I'm going to show you quickly is the Times Explorer. The Times Explorer is something like a file explorer, so it lists you all the records that are available here in the system. Let me remove all the filters for a second. So here you see all the records that have been tracked or recorded or entered. The Times Explorer, if you have the permission, at the permission level of an administrator or a manager, you will see also the time records of other people in your team. And from here, you can do a couple of very powerful things. For instance, you can, the typical stuff on a browser like that, you can sort and you can filter. For instance, I can filter for myself here if I like. I can also make combinations of filtering and sorting, but there's something that is pretty helpful, for instance. So you can even make some grouping here. So I group by person, and let me also group by, let's say, activity type. And then with just two clicks, I have here a drill down where for every person, I see the total in the top row. And then I see the more detailed information in the next level. So I can drill this down and dive into that and see exactly what has happened here. So you can create your very own view that you need. And in this place, I also want to mention that there is a lot of information available. So you can go to this columns button and can add almost every information. Maybe it's really every information available in the whole system. So it should be. So You have, of course, all the fields that are in Time Tracker, but you have also all the fields that are available in VSTS itself, and also all the fields that you have individually added to your work item template here in that list. So you can really add the full set of information to that view. And if you have done that, if you are finished with the view that you want to see, you can even save that as a layout. So I can, let me take the here, a new layout for that. Let's call that Connect G7 layout. So I have now created that new layout. This is visible here on the left-hand side, and I can switch to other layouts and can recall that layout whenever I need it. So even if I go to different pages or reload the browser, this data set that I created here is available. And I can also, of course, work with that data. So for instance, I can mark rows here, time records, and do some stuff like assign them to a budget or mark them as billable or change activity type. Of course, deleting them is also possible. I can import data. I can export data from here in the set that I've just created. So this is very powerful in with all kind of actions that you do with your data, with your work logs. The next thing I quickly want to jump in is the approval. And by the way, let me intersect here and point your attention to this little bar. If you are familiar with Time Tracker, then you might have wondered because this is new. And actually what you see here, let me click on that to open that, is the web client. So before we go into the approval, let me introduce our completely new web client introduced with Time Tracker 4. So what you see here is the same, equipped with the same features as you have from the client. So you can either do the control of your tracking from the client or from the web client. So for instance, if I stop here, you will see that the both clients are reacting at the same time as they are connected with the client API to the server. But I can go here also from the web client and check for some items to work on like that here. And add some comment here as well. And start tracking from this web client. So, if I have finished my working week, let me go back to the timesheet and simulate that. If I have finished my working week, we have also implemented an approval workflow. And I'd like to point out that this approval workflow is dedicated to agile teams is based on trusting each other, on the values that agile teams usually share. So we have not put too much attention into limiting the access to data and sending emails back and forth. So it should be a workflow that is really intended to be a handshake between the management and the developer. So the handshake begins when the developer decides that his week is finished, all the data is in a shape that he wants to send this in for approval, and he can do this either from the timesheet or from the monthly page by clicking here on this submit for approval button. And after he has done so, the manager will see that working week in the pending approval section. So from here, he sees all the timesheets that has been sent in to be approved. From that view, you can also drill into the information. You can see any kind of information level, of course, from everywhere where work items are displayed. You can also click on these work items and make them visible instantly. Yes, and you see, for instance, also the activities where work has been tracked on, and you see comments. That's what you see here. So this is really the full set of information available that you need to make the approval on this timesheet. The moment the manager decides that this can be approved, he just clicks that button either here or selects all the sent in timesheets and approves that piece. And after that has happened, finally, the timesheet is truly locked. So you will see that with a warning message or an error message that appears now because I sent in the current week where still a tracking happened. So still my clock was ticking, but now as the week became approved, it is read only. It has been locked. That means that the tracking has been stopped and I get an information about that. And both the manager as well as the team members know that this week now is locked. There can't be changed anything. We know that the data is consistent in the past. Yes, and if we, of course, we can also, wrong button. You can also reopen a selected timesheet to allow the engineer to continue to work on that or to make some adjustments or whatsoever. So the next piece is the iterations page. The iterations page is, we call it the, let's dismiss that message here, is internally we call that the health of a sprint indicator. So what you see here is the a list of iterations of the project you have selected. And you see all the items that have been assigned to a sprint where the team has committed to. But we all know that an iteration in agile development is something dynamic. So even if a team commits in the beginning of a week, no one knows the future. So in the middle of the sprint, a sprint can be adjusted and very likely will be adjusted. Items will be moved back to the backlog. Other items will be added. So this is typically something that happens. And what you see here is that this information in that view is considered. So you will see that, for instance, here you see some items that have been moved back to the backlog, but they have been in that sprint at some point in time during that iteration. And it's important to see that here because a sprint also or an iteration also has, time can be tracked on an item in that iteration, regardless if this item is still in the sprint backlog by the end of the sprint. So if something has been moved back to the backlog, to the product backlog, then it disappears from that iteration, but the time that has been spent on that to evaluate if we can work on that is definitely time that has been spent by the team in that sprint. So it must be visible here. So that's the reason why you see all that information here. And so you see what really happened in that iteration. And even more, I want to point your attention to the additional data that we provide here. So you see the effort that has been originally estimated. You will also see if there is a change in between the original at the sprint beginning and in the turn of the sprint, that maybe the effort has been adjusted. You will see that here. You see also the total numbers, the total hours that have been tracked on this PBI. So this is a parent item, a product backlog item. And you see here that that column, which is called pace. So the pace is similar to the velocity in Scrum. Something that is computed by the effort that has been estimated and the, in Scrum, it's just based on the effort. Here in Time Tracker, the pace indicates the effort divided by the track time. So it gives you a clear indication about how long does it take to perform, for instance, one story point. And this typically will be always in the same dimension. So for instance, in our team, it's typically something like a 4. And so this is with one quick look, you will instantly see how good the approach or how good the process works for that particular item. So for instance, if you have something that goes here with a 10, with a pace of 10 or 15 or 30, you know, oh, there's something bad happening. You can go to the team members and talk and ask and see what's happening here. Maybe you can make some decisions based upon the effort that has been spent. And this is something that raises communication in the team, something where you be aware of what is happening. And this has an educational aspect. So you see the relation between what you have estimated in the beginning and how that goes over the course of time. So that is turns out to be very helpful for teams using that. So the next piece that we're going to have a look at is the budgets page. So a budget is more or less an additional level that we add to the existing levels of epics, features, stories, bugs, and so on. So a budget can even spread more than one project, can spread the whole account or multiple projects. And it's basically the economical representance of time that you plan or money that you plan or teams that you add from the outside, so external teams or something the like. So whatever you're going to do with that, or billable hours or non-billable hours, however, you can just create a budget here. So let's do that for a second. New connect budget. And now that you have created that budget, you can use that. For instance, you can go to the iterations page, and from here you can assign a whole iteration to that page, to that budget. So let me just use this new connect budget. And what I've done now is I have assigned the whole iteration to this budget. But also please look at this column. So you see, you can even go through, to work items or to higher level items like PBIs or epics, features, whatsoever, and can assign, you can assign them as well to budgets or disassign them from them. So for instance, this means that the whole iteration goes onto the budget new connect budget, but this goes to a different budget, and this as well, and this as well. So basically, this gives you a real-time view about how much hours have you spent on a budget. You can also control that. Let me quickly select that here. You can also select or deselect work items or iterations from here. So that gives you a very powerful way to flag and to categorize the time that has been tracked here in the system. This information is, of course, available also in the Times Explorer. It's available in all exports. You can export data from here as well. And also it is available from the API. I want to hand over to my colleague Maxim Lutzan. So he wants to give us some quick introduction into something that we have also released quite freshly with the Time Tracker 4, which is the client interface that allows teams to remote control Time Tracker from their own systems or build their own clients or do something like that. So please, Maxim.
Thank you, Mark. I'm going to show API which we're releasing in version 4. It allows users or new developers to contribute in Time Tracker and develop own clients. And I will show how easy it is to manage time tracking with this API. So, and I'll start with demonstrating that before we start using API, we need to pair it. And to pair our client, we need to go to settings or configuration to the API section and pair our client. We are pairing by sending a request to our API, and it provides PIN, which we need to enter on a web page. After we enter this on the web page, we can, with the secret, generate access and refresh tokens. So we need to send this secret to API, and we are getting back access and refresh tokens here and here. We are going to use access token. We save it in for all requests. And then we can start using our API. For example, we want to check our current state, and we are calling API tracking current. it returns object with the details of current track, or if track is not existing, some settings and environmental data. And let's say we are going to start new tracking, and we are going to start on some TFSAT, let's say 30, and you just post that data. And as you see, we get an object back, and on web interface, tracking is started. Same with the Windows client, tracking is running here. And at the end of the day, we can stop tracking, which is immediately reflected on all the clients. And we can also start on not only on TFS, but on any comment. And it will be also the same behavior. Windows client is running and web client is also running.
All right. Thanks, Maxim, for that presentation of the API. Last minute's running, so before we end here, I want to finally give you two more things. One is a little bit more about the brand new Windows client. So what you see here is the Windows client, as I told you earlier, this is a complete new application rewritten from scratch. One of the things that you can do from here is you can have more than one account that is already connected, and you can just switch between these accounts here from the application. So if you have a Visual Studio Team Services account and a TFS account, or multiple of them, you can just switch between them. And the tracking itself also became much nicer. For instance, one of the things that is very nice is this new search field. So when you, for instance, look at search for some items, it's very handy to do so. You can add a comment directly from here, even a multi-line comment. And you can directly select the activity type from here, for instance, like that. So one of the typical questions that you have is that you look at one of the higher level items and you just want to instantly know how much have we spent on that items. I want to quickly demonstrate you one more thing that I haven't shown you so far. And this is the time tab that is added by our extension to every work item form. So from here, you can just see all the time related information. You can also add time directly from here. And if you go to higher level items, you see the whole piece of things that happen in that epic or in that feature. So what you see here is that, for instance, on that first prototype API, a total of 500 hours have been spent, and you see the features of that epic and the times that have been spent on that. You see the team members that have worked on that and the amount of time that they spend, the activities, and you even see here with that color code, you get an idea about how every team member has spent their work on which activities. And you can even more drill down by opening this the next level of children elements. So I now jump into the related children element of the client API. Now I see here the data, and I can even open this set of data from within the Times Explorer. All right. Again, thank you for your attention. Hope to see you all soon again. Bye-bye.